Now you can do your grocery shopping without ever getting out of your car. Introducing Acme Drive Up and Go. Just shop online at acmemarkets.com and an experienced Acme associate will carefully do the shopping and bagging for you. Then just head to the store and they'll bring your order right to your car. You'll enjoy the same in-store pricing, plus you can still earn and redeem your just-for-you grocery and gas rewards. Place your first online order and get $20 off when you spend $75 or more. Limitation and restrictions apply. Visit acmemarkets.com. For details.
Fine. So kick back with your bacon and eggs and pour yourself a mimosa while Phillies announcer Greg Murphy and Green Legion Radio's Chris Sack break down your fighting Phils and take you around the league right now on Baseball Brunch. Play ball!
And welcome to another Sunday edition here of Bud Light Baseball Brunch. You got that right. Phillies announcer, no longer former Phillies field reporter. We are Bud Light Baseball Brunch, powered by Green Legion Radio here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, 104.1 in the Trenton area, WDAS-AM around the rest of the Delaware Valley, and you can download the iHeartRadio app and can listen to us anywhere worldwide, crystal clear. We're broadcasting live here from the beautiful Sports and Social at Philly Live Casino down here in South Philadelphia, right down the street from Citizens Bank Park. And I am your host, Chris Sack of Green Legion Radio, sitting alongside, yes, you heard it correctly, Phillies announcer Greg Murphy. What's up, Murph?
What's up, Sack? Another good Sunday, coming off a much-needed win last night out there.
Boy, you're
in
Colorado. Not lying.
Ooh, the House of Horrors. Who knew? Coors Field is such a beautiful place, but man, oh man, it's miserable for the Phils. But yet, you know, they get a win last night, and we're going to talk about that at length. But good to see the Phils coming back, bouncing back behind their ace, Aaron Nola, last night.
Absolutely. And we just have a couple announcements here before we go ahead to our weekly ticket giveaway for you guys. I know everybody's looking forward to the trivia question this week. Bud Light Baseball Brunch will be making a very special announcement next week regarding 5 Baseball Brunch tailgates starting May 23rd here at home against the Boston Red Sox. Not only will you be able to enjoy a 4-hour brunch tailgate, but you'll be able to meet and greet both Greg Murphy and myself. Make sure you listen next week for more on that. Also, Green Legion Radio will not only be broadcasting next Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. here on Fox Sports The Gambler, but on Sunday, May 2nd, we will be broadcasting a special draft coverage show from noon until 2 p.m. following Bud Light Baseball Brunch at Philly Live Casino. The full cast will be there, including Hollis, Tank Thomas, who will be signing autographs and taking photos with whoever is in attendance. Also, real quick, before we go into our ticket giveaway, I kick it over to Murph. I'd like to wish a special happy 5th birthday to my big guy, Jacob, who is at home with my wife and my baby, Carson. Buddy, you are the light of my life. I love you so much, and I'll see you at home when I get there later on today. Murph, let's do give away some tickets.
Yeah, let's do that. But happy birthday to Jake as well, back at home. Jacob, right?
Jacob.
Yep. And we wish him the best. The Mario Kart birthday party looked like a lot of fun.
A lot of fun. And the Phillies got him a win last night, and let's win a series today.
Absolutely. That would be a perfect birthday present.
You know what's great about when he was born, Murph? Just real quick. So my wife went into labor on a Sunday morning.
Okay.
Right? He was born at 2:24 on a Monday morning. The Flyers lost at 12:30, it was game 6 against the Capitals. Ow. They lost, season over. The Phillies played in San Diego that day. They lost to the Padres. I told her, I was like, you hold that child in there until tomorrow. I was like, because I don't want him born a loser. The Phillies went on a 6-game winning streak after that.
That, my friend, is good parenting. I like that. All right. What do we say we give away some tickets? 4 more tickets. The Hatfield Dollar Dog Night, Monday, May 3rd at 7:05 against the Brewers. All we ask is that you answer the trivia question by following the Green Legion Radio YouTube channel or the Green Legion page on Facebook or our Twitter handle at Green Legion. So if you do one of those and answer the question correctly, you might be going to a baseball game on May 3rd against the Brewers. Here's the question. 2 catchers are tied for the most no-hitters caught by a catcher in Major League Baseball history. The record is 4 no-hitters caught. Who are the 2 catchers? All right, Phillies fans, what do you think?
And remember, make sure you put it in the same subject line. Don't do it separately. Make it easy on Sam, our intern here. Also, speaking of Sam, our intern, and our producer, Slash, Ask the Show is in our second segment today. So make sure that you get all your questions in for both Murph and myself. Probably more so Murph. You probably want to hear more from him than you do from me. But they can be questions about the Phillies, the current team, around the league, or fun questions for Murph and myself. You guys heard the Ask Murph segment that we did a couple weeks ago, which turned out to be a huge hit. So if you guys have any silly questions you want to ask us that you want to know about us, go ahead and make sure you ask the questions away. Let's go to out of the box here. Murph. I'm looking back on the week that was here, and Aaron Nola, you said that we got the big win last night, yep. But Aaron Nola, after last week's show, you had said on last week's show, we need a big start from our ace today, and a lot of people have been kicking around. Zach Eflin is the true ace. Zach Wheeler is the true ace. Aaron Nola showed you last week what he can do. 10 strikeouts and no walks while allowing 2 hits. And then last night, actually, that was his first career 9-inning complete game shutout. And then he followed that up with last night's performance, where really he just made one mistake. And mm-hmm. it's to league leader in home runs, McMahon, the third baseman for the Rockies. He made one mistake, but he still gave a 7-inning strong after a week where the bullpen had kind of shot itself along the way and really struggled outside of Zach Eflin's performance in a rain-delayed type start that he had on Wednesday. Why don't you speak a little bit on Aaron Nola? I know you are a huge proponent of Nola, so this is an opportunity for you, Murph, where you can just pat yourself on the back.
Yeah, well, you know what? I didn't do a whole lot. Aaron did most of the heavy lifting. I'll take a tiny bit of credit on it. No. Yeah, you know what? I said on the show last week, coming into that Sunday start for him, that he needed, I said, if he doesn't pitch well today, then I'll start being a little bit concerned, because he had faced the NL East and teams from the East over and over and over again. And the last couple of times that he's faced the Nats lineup or the Mets lineup or the Braves lineup, he struggled a little bit. That's baseball. You know, these guys get to know you so well, and you make adjustments, they make adjustments. But when, you know, there's that familiarity there, it makes it a little bit harder for the pitcher. So he was facing the Cardinals last week, and I wanted to see him come out and have a dominant performance. And man, oh man, did he ever. As you mentioned, his first complete game, 9 innings, shutout, and he was outstanding. He looked like an ace in that game. And then last night, you know, bouncing, you know, coming back after that, you can't expect them to do that every week. But what he was able to do last night, which I think was almost as impressive, is without his best stuff, in the thin air in Colorado, without that, you know, perfect command, he was able to battle, get the fill 7 innings, get, you know, there was a time in the fifth that you thought, all right, maybe they're going to have to lift him here, and then a time in the sixth where you thought maybe they were going to pinch hit for him, but they, you know, they were able to get him through 7, and he made one mistake, as you pointed out, and in Colorado, you'll take that every day of the week.
No doubt.
And so what he was able to do last night was equally as impressive for this team. And thankfully, the bats came alive last night, and they had some good defense behind them as well. And all of those things came together for a big win. But, yeah, if you're looking at the week that was, what a great week for Aaron Nola. And we need more of this. We need this to be the norm for Aaron Nola going forward. And you know what? In a season that's starting to get back to normal, I think it will be.
Yeah, and then I also look at last week's homestand, Murph. I mean, we had 6 games. Yep. This guy missed 1 game last Saturday, and we were a little worried about that back stiffness. But, man, what a hell of a homestand. I mean, Bryce Harper was, I'm not even going to say red hot. This man was white hot, okay? In 5 games played on that 6-game homestand, he struck out 1 time. Okay, he batted .647. He was 11-17.
That's all right.
2 home runs, 2 doubles, 5 walks, 4 runs batted in. I mean, from what I saw, a lot of people have been not really critical of Bryce Harper's play his first 2 seasons here. I think last year's kind of an outlier. He got off to a hot start, and he dealt with the back stiffness in September. But people have been waiting for Bryce Harper to put this team on his back. And mind you, we only went 3-3 in that homestand, so right. It wasn't much to brag about. But really, when you look back on it with how Bryce Harper was during the course of those 6 days, it was truly special. We didn't lose those 3 games because of Bryce Harper. If anything, we came out of that series because he tied the game late in the game after we blew our lead against the Giants on Wednesday, ties the game late, and he scores the game-winning run off of Andrew Knapp's walk-off hit. This guy is really starting to put this team on his back, no pun intended. He's been truly special over the last week.
Well, maybe the team needs to get off his back because it's a little bulky right now. Give the guy a break. No, you know what? It's terrific to watch what he was able to do on that homestand. And when great players get hot like that, you know, you really can ride them. And that's what the Phillies were, you know, attempting to do. The problem was he was the only one that was really hitting on the homestand. He and Gene Segura were the only guys that were really consistently doing anything offensively. You know, it's funny. You read out those numbers, and they're outstanding, but what we may forget is in that first game of the homestand, He went, I think he went 2 for 4. He had a double in that game, but he also hit two that would have been out on any other night.
A .980 batting average on the one that he hit to the warning track.
And
right
wasn't out.
It was expected batting average of .980.
Yeah, so that's some bad luck right there. But so he would have had two more home runs on that tally, two more hits, two more extra base hits on that tally. You know, of course, but the wind was blowing in. But, yeah, he was obviously swinging a hot bat, and it was good to see. Came to Colorado, cooled off a little bit, but had a double last night in the game, and hopefully can finish up and have a big game this afternoon. But, you know, Bryce is always going to get the brunt of the criticism and the brunt of the praise.
It's the contract.
Yeah, and you know what? Nobody wears that better than Bryce Harper, I don't think. I mean, he understands that, and he kind of embraces it. And why not? You know, he's a terrific talent. He knows that, and he's been real, real good in terms of this contract. You know, has he been the MVP yet? No, not yet, but keeps playing like he did over the course of that homestand, then he's certainly going to be in the conversation going forward.
Well, since they've gone to Colorado and they've gone back out on the road, there is a guy who also, you know, he's been playing pretty well, too, over the last few games. Now, I got a little upset with him on Friday night. He struck out in his first three at-bats. And, you know, I took the Facebook, Murph.
Never a good idea.
And I said, Rhys Hoskins with the hat trick in the fifth inning, you suck. So his next at-bat after that, he puts us up 4-2, and then he has a single on his last at-bat. And then yesterday, you know, just two bombs and five RBIs and, you know, helping us win that game yesterday. Pretty much he put the team on his back in that game. You know,
has hashtag freezing cold takes called you yet?
I'm normally not a hot take type of guy, Murph. I mean, you've worked me, you know, here for a little bit and you have that understanding. I would admit that I did have a couple cocktails in me.
Never a good idea.
But hey, I kept it to that. But hey, Rhys Hoskins, man, like these last couple days since he did have the hat trick, I was sitting there, I was watching him in that third strikeout that he had on Friday night, Murph. And what frustrated me with Hoskins over those previous few games is I noticed that he seemed like he was getting back into pool happy mode. Mm-hmm. You know, like what makes Rhys special when he's truly going is when he's hitting it the other way.
Absolutely.
And that's where I got upset with him. Because everything was just flailing at that low and away breaking ball that just kept on diving away. It was like Pat Burrell's, you know, like when Pat used to get really, really cold and that ball would tail away and he's swinging at you. You're like, what the hell are you swinging at? You know, so why don't you talk a little bit about Rhys Hoskins and what you've seen the last couple of days?
Well, the moral of that story, Zach, there's a couple morals in that story, I think, and I'm gonna you know, find them for you.
Please,
and present them
please
for
enlighten
you.
Me, Murph.
The first is baseball is hard, right? And
absolutely.
Hitting baseball is, you know, offensive baseball is hard. Second is, while drinking, have someone slap your hand, slap your phone out of your hand so that social media is not an issue. Those are two morals that I picked up. Rhys Hoskins, I think what you said is exactly right. When Rhys starts to get pull happy, and I think you could probably say this about, you know, a lot of guys, especially sluggers in the big leagues, when they start to get pull happy is when they start to chase balls out of the zone, they start to expand, you know, they're not swinging at strikes. Rhys Hoskins, when he is locked in, and we have seen him go on some amazing streaks since he's been up with the big league club, when he is locked in, the first thing he is doing is he is swinging at strikes. And when he's called, he's chasing. And again, seems kind of obvious, seems kind of easy, but we know this game is not easy. And you start to press, and you start to open up, and you start to try and do more. And I think we saw Rhys doing that over the course of the homestand. But yeah. Last night, well, over the course of the last two games, really kind of self-contained again and looking at pitches in the dirt and letting them go. He swung at one bad pitch last night, and it resulted in a strikeout in the fourth inning or something. But other than that, his at-bats last night were outstanding. And Rhys is the kind of guy that when he gets hot, you know, he's a confidence kind of player. And when he is feeling confident, you can see it. And, you know, at the end of the 2019 baseball season, the one thing I said about Rhys was he was not himself. Rhys is one of the best guys you're going to meet. He's happy-go-lucky. He's friendly. He's just one of those people that you enjoy being around. At the end of 2019, he was struggling so badly that he wasn't himself. And you could see that. I'm starting to see that Rhys Hoskins emerge again, the guy that's enjoying playing the game of baseball. And if he can keep that going consistently this season, look out, because, you know, he has the ability to have a huge season, And that's what the Phils need out of him.
That's right. Look out, Jansen. Look out for Rhys Hoskins.
That's right.
While we're talking on the lineup here, I want to get your opinion on this because you were lucky enough to have this kid on your pregame show on Friday night. We've had some injuries this week. Didi Gregorius had, with the shoulder, he was out for the Giants series, and he came back to the lineup on Friday night. But since then, we lost Gene Segura with a quad strain. Lucky for us, a 24-year-old kid named Nick Maton. Seventh round pick for the Phillies back in 2017 Major League Baseball draft. This kid has really impressed this week. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you learned about him? And he has a special teacher that's really taken him under his wing, right?
Yeah, and he's not that teacher you speak of. Matt Breen wrote a terrific article in the Philadelphia Inquirer this week. Kind of a get to know you piece about Nick Maton because he got here. It was kind of unexpected. He came up because of injury. Found out only about 3 hours before. He needed to be in Philadelphia, that he was coming up to the big club. So he got in the car and he was driving here. I asked him, I said, what were you thinking about as you drove the hour and a half from the alternate site down here to Philadelphia? And he said, honestly, my phone didn't stop ringing. I didn't have a chance to think about anything. He said, but next thing I knew, I was here in Philadelphia. And he said, and I walked into the clubhouse. I met some of the guys. He has met them before, but, said hi to a couple of the guys and then saw the lineup. And he said, and my name was in the starting lineup. He said, at that moment, I didn't have time to be nervous because the game was 45 minutes away. So, and in retrospect, maybe that's a pretty good way to go about it. So you don't have a whole lot of time to get in your own head when you're making your major league debut.
Did he get to choose his number?
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
So he's wearing 29, right? 29.
It was hard not to look at him, Murph, and not think. Like, I was at the game on Monday for his big league debut,
right.
And you see this, this chiseled, good-looking kid, and he's standing out there at shortstop, and it's 29, and I'm looking at him with my buddy, I'm like, is that 26? It looks like 26, and he kind of looks like our borderline Hall of Fame, the former second baseman, Chase Utley.
Yeah, and so the article Matt Breen wrote, it's interesting because he talks about the relationship that Nick Maton and Larry Boa have struck up over the last couple of years. Any Phillies fan obviously knows that Boa works with these young guys, and he's a taskmaster. He's a guy that wants the most out of the guys that he's working with. And I asked Nick, I said, what's that relationship been like for you? And he said, that's exactly the kind of coaching that I like. He said, when a coach is on top of me all the time and demanding more of me at all times, he said, I feel as though they know that I can do it, and that makes me feel like I can do it. And when Larry Boa is hitting you 100, 200, 500 ground balls every day down in spring training or at the alternate site, and he's yelling at you, and he's telling you to work harder, and he's telling you to do this and that, he said, you just get the sense that he's not wasting his time with a guy that he doesn't think can be successful. Larry's doing it because he knows you can be successful. And so that relationship between the two of them has grown, and, he really appreciates what Larry has been able to do for him. And, Larry's done that for so many guys in this organization and organizations all over baseball over the course of his career. But, and he also, Larry, in that article, stops right there from saying, comparing him to Chase Utley. But he says, you can see the similarities about their attitude, the way that Nick Maton approaches every day with this kind of, if this is my last game, I'm going to make sure it's my best game kind of attitude that Chase Utley played with all the time. You hate to compare a young kid to a guy like Chase Utley, especially in the first week of his career.
Yes.
However, I'm going to do it anyway, or they're going to do it anyway. There are some similarities, just the way their body, you pointed out their makeup, and I think the way he was playing second base last night, he made that play late in the game in the eighth inning.
Huge.
Terrific play. He stabbed it with the backhand, and then he just kind of collected himself, made the throw over to first, and I thought, man, that looked like Chase Utley right there. So you don't want to put too much pressure on this kid, but he keeps hitting. He has, what, 9 hits now in his first 5 games?
Yeah, 9 for 19, I believe.
He's on a list with guys like Richie Ashburn and Kevin Stocker and guys with the best starts in Phillies history. It's been fun to watch. Knock on wood, maybe this kid can stay up here. Maybe he can make a difference this year. Someone that no one was even talking about 2 weeks ago. maybe he's a difference maker. We'll see.
Absolutely. And I look at it like this. I mean, if you have a guy like Larry Boa building you up, think about what MCS Construction Services, the largest residential contractor in the Philadelphia area. They supply both resident and commercial contractors, everything to include custom cabinetry. Reach out to them at www.mcsinc-pa.com or call them at 484-202-3656. Ask for your free estimate so you can get started with your MCS Construction Services experience performed with quality and safety. They are licensed and insured and are performing services throughout the Delaware Valley, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, and even Maryland. Once again, reach out to them at www.mcsinc-pa.com or call them at 484-202-3656. That is www.mcsinc-pa.com or call them at 484-202-3656. Coming up on the other side, make sure you guys get your questions in for Murph and myself as we do Ask the Show in the next segment. You can follow us again here on iHeartRadio 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. We'll be right back right after this.
Social media and drinking at the same time.
I hear you.
Forget what I said, okay? Because I'm going to introduce you to the Neck Sip, as in what connects your head to your torso, N-E-C-K, Neck Sip. Time to free up those hands and wear your drink, everyone. Visit NeckSip.com and follow them at NeckSip. It holds any beverage, even bottles, cans, and snacks. It's COVID safe. Wearing your drink helps stop the spread of germs. This beautiful piece of mastery sits around your neck with a durable pouch and a straw. So text with both hands and drink at the same time. Use social media if you must, Sack, and visit NextSip.com. Customize with your team's colors. Perfect for sports events, parties, hunting, or anything you do outdoors. Philly-born and USA-made, only $5 each. Wear your drink and free your hands. Get 15% off when you use the code GREENLEGION. Again, visit NextSip.com and visit them at NextSip. Are you kidding? That's everybody needs a Nexus.
Man, I'm telling you, it's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year, Clark.
That's right.
We are back here, Bud Light Baseball Brunch down here at Sports and Social at Philly Live Casino in South Philadelphia. And we are on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, 104.1 in the Trenton area, WDAS AM around the rest of the city, and iHeart Radio app worldwide. Welcome back for our second segment here. We're about to jump into Ask the Show, but Murph, we have a winner for our trivia question. The four tickets for the May 3rd game against the Milwaukee Brewers, which is Hatfield Dollar Dog Night. This will be 8 total tickets we've given away for that game, which means I expect at least 60 hot dogs to be eaten collectively between all those people.
I love it.
So why don't you reread the trivia question there, Murph, and I will give you the winner of those tickets.
All right, so the trivia question was, two catchers are tied for the most no-hitters caught by a catcher in Major League Baseball history. The record is 4 no-hitters caught. Who are those two catchers? Well, Phillies fans obviously know that Carlos Ruiz was one of them. But how about the other? Jason Varitek of the Boston Red Sox. Both of them have caught 4 no-hitters in their careers. Obviously, the Phils, it's Halliday twice, Cole Hamels, and then the combined no-hitter of Diekman, Giles, Papelbon, and Cole Hamels in that one as well. So, great stuff, and who's our winner?
Well, congratulations, Russ Taylor, and I will send you those to your email, so that way you have them coming up here later on today. Congratulations again, and thank you guys for tuning in and playing along with us. Now, let's go on to our Ask the Show segment here. These are questions that could be Phillies related, could be around the league, could be for Murph, or maybe if you guys are desperate enough to find out something about myself, really. So let's go ahead, and I'm going to kick it over to Slash right now, who has a bevy of questions for Murph and me. Slash?
All right, so I will read the question. I'll start out with Murph, and then Sack, if you want to chime in afterwards. This is from our good friend Bruce, helps us with the station at Bruce J. Vail. What is more concerning moving forward for the Phillies? Center field or the back end of the rotation, and which one gets solved first?
Murph? Yeah, it's a great question, because at this point they're both a concern. I think right now I would say center field is the biggest concern. You need one of those guys that are currently in the mix to step up and do something. You can't have a hole in your lineup. You know, without the DH, it makes it very difficult to be a consistent offense if, you know, 8-9, and actually, you know, you could throw in Andrew McCutchen, who was pretty good last night, got on base a couple times last night, but, you know, that one hole has also been a bit of a struggle. So you're looking at 8-9-1 in this lineup being a consistent three outs, and that is hard to score runs and be consistent and put up crooked numbers when you have that. So to me, center field is is an issue. And, you know, hopefully it solves itself. Hopefully Mickey Moniak starts to feel more comfortable at the plate and you know, more comfortable as an offensive player in the big leagues. I think he's been pretty good defensively, but offensively, obviously, he has struggled. You know, Roman's had his opportunities. I love, you know, the extra stuff that Roman brings, but you got to get on base if you're a guy with the kind of speed that Roman has, and he hasn't been able to do that. And so I think center field's an issue, and I think the back end of the rotation, you know, Vince Velasquez wasn't great the other night, but he was better in that number four starter's role for Matt Moore, and I think we're going to see Vince get another opportunity to start a game, and you know, maybe he can figure some things out. Chase Anderson's been fine in that five hole, so I'd say center field, and I do think that, you know, the front office is looking at that and looking at options and trying to figure some things out, but it's not an easy fix at this point of the season. You know, teams aren't going to trade away decent center fielders at this
Absolutely.
Point. Absolutely. So it's not an easy fix, but you can bet that the front office is working on it.
Yeah, I look at it from this perspective. I agree with Murph that center field is the bigger issue if you just can't get on base. And I think there was an inning last night, Murph, where actually our eight-hole hitter, our pitcher, and McCutchen, who's been struggling, they let off an inning. They were the first three batters to take place. I'm like, man, and I was like, well, might as well go grab another beverage if that's the case. But I look at it from my standpoint, you have the three studs at the top of the rotation, the way Noel's been pitching, Wheeler when he's on, and Eflin has pitched really, really well. We've proven over the long haul that you can win when you have a few starters, but you need consistency out of that four hole. I think Chase Anderson, I agree with you, Murph, has pitched pretty well. He got pulled out of the game because the Phillies offense was struggling.
Right.
So I think he only pitched four innings in his last start, so he should be pretty fresh today to be able to give him some innings. Vince Velasquez, he only gave you four innings, but I think that was more so he's not stretched out yet. And I never thought I would pine for Vince Velasquez to come back to the rotation, but after watching Matt Moore's first few starts, hell no, I don't want to see him come back into the rotation. But I think this week you're going to see him come back. Alvarado is going to be coming back for the bullpen this week as they come off the COVID list. And I don't think you're going to see Torres come back, or Torres when he comes back. You're not going to see Torres come back because of the way Maton's playing. So he's going to wind up probably going back to the alternate site.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do with that situation, the Maton-Torres situation. Obviously, Maton hasn't done anything to deserve to be sent back. But that doesn't mean that's not the way it plays out, but it remains to be seen.
I think we both agree, though, that Maton should be playing every day here until Segura comes back, because at that point, when the minor leagues start up in May, you want Maton to get at-bats and consistent at-bats, and if you have Gregorius and Segura starting every day, for the most part, every single week, Maton's not going to be the guy that's going to be coming off the bench. So
more than likely,
So once Segura comes back and Gregorius proves that he can stay healthy, Maton's going to go back down to the minor leagues and get at-bats down there.
Yeah, and you know what? And I was looking at the scorecard from last night. Andrew McCutchen on base three times last night and five at-bats. That's what you need
absolutely
from Andrew McCutchen.
Yeah,
there's only one hit, but he walked twice, and you'll take that. You know, that's what we need to see more out of Andrew McCutchen. Hopefully he starts to come out of this little slide, because that's a big hole in this Phillies lineup if he's not getting on base.
Slash?
All right, so we'll keep it in the NL East, and our good friend Sean Henderson chimes in and says...
Good friend?
acquaintance.
Well, pain in the rear.
Is Jacob DeGrom the most dominant pitcher in baseball? And how should batters approach him, if there even is an answer for that?
Yes, and run. I mean, there is no argument. No argument. You can't give me another name that I will agree with to say that someone is better than Jacob DeGrom right now at pitching a baseball. He is ridiculously good at this moment, and players are just 100% overmatched. He keeps getting better, and that's what's amazing. And now the Mets are actually winning games that he's pitching, so that makes him a little more dangerous. But yeah, he's the best. How do you approach a guy like Jacob DeGrom? I don't know. I honestly don't know. And you know, a lot better baseball guys than me have tried to answer that question and failed too. So. Sometimes you just have to tip your cap to a guy with more talent and, you know, in his little finger than most guys have in their entire bodies. So Jacob DeGrom is ridiculous. He throws, you know, he throws hard. He has pinpoint command. I saw a graph this morning when I woke up. I was scrolling through Twitter, and it was his pitch chart from his last start. Yesterday, was that Saturday, I guess it was, or Friday? If you get a chance to look at that on Fangraphs, it's remarkable. If you like that kind of thing, three different pitches, all exactly where he wants at all times. It's nuts.
I look at DeGrom, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Murph, or you disagree. I look at DeGrom as a starting pitcher version of Mariano Rivera. Like, he throws mainly fastballs. Okay, so like Mo would just, he just had the cutter, but he could throw it any which way, however which way, whenever the heck he wanted to. And that's DeGrom with his fastball. It doesn't matter where he's throwing it to. Like, and what do? You close your eyes and swing the bat and you pray. That's what you do as far as what you go up to when you go up to the plate against DeGrom, because it's unbelievable the stuff that he has. I think you're going to show me the graph right now. It's insane. And if he throws something, he has such great control of the strike zone that he can throw whatever pitch he wants, and he can throw it out of the strike zone, and people are going to swing at it because they expect it to be in a part of the strike zone and then it winds up being out of it. So it's insane how great this guy is. I mean, we've been lucky to see a lot of great pitchers over the last, like, 10 years. Scherzer's had his dominance. Kershaw's had his dominance. Gerrit Cole, Verlander. But, like, what you're seeing right now and at the age that he's at and how precise that he is, I think someone wrote an article the other day. He's kind of like this generation's Randy Johnson. He's getting better with age.
Yeah, that's scary. It's scary to think he absolutely is getting better with age. By the way, it was Baseball Savant was the website, so okay. I want to make sure. Baseball Savant, do yourself a favor. If you're into that kind of thing, I guess strangely I am, that this pitching chart of Jacob DeGrom's start on April 23rd is just fun. It's crazy to look at the control he has with this four-seam fastball up in the zone, his slider down and away, and his changeup down and away to left-handers.
You know what truly stinks about this too is we got to see him next weekend.
Yeah, I hate the Mets.
All right, so David Harris chimes in and says, if the Phillies are in the playoff hunt by the trade deadline, do you see them making any significant moves, maybe a center fielder, back-end rotation starter, or do you think they stay put?
I look at it like this. If you are in the division title race, okay, and you're not in the wild card mix, I can see John Middleton making a move, a big splash, a big move, to get this team over the hump. If they're middling, they're around 500, they're in the wild card race, he's not going to go over the luxury tax threshold unless this team, and he stated this before, and I think this is a good business move by a businessman. You're not going to spend extra money for a product that has no chance of going further into the playoffs. If you're going to be in a one game, one and done playoff, what's the point of making a big move and spending the extra capital? It makes no sense. If they're in that title race for the National League East, along with the Mets and the Braves, and it's going to take that big splash to get them over the hump, Murph, I think that they will make that move. They will spend that extra money. I think Dombrowski has that kind of clout that he can go to Middleton and say, hey, this is what we need to get over the hump and win the NL East, as compared to, like, McPhail, who was never there, the ghost of Andy McPhail. And then you have Matt Klentak, who just did not have the gravitas to walk into John Middleton's office and say, hey, John, this is what we need to do to get us over the top. Because, Murph, if we don't, we don't.
All right, I'll agree with you to an extent. I think that the Phillies organization as a whole, you know, John Middleton, obviously, the principal owner, and but here on down. But I think Dave Dombrowski, if the team has a chance at a postseason berth, whether it be the wild card or the title or the NL East title, I think they do make a move. I think that getting back to the postseason means enough to this team that they are willing to take a chance, you know, come August, to make that move to get them into the postseason. The drought has been way too long. So if they sense the opportunity to get to the postseason, whether it be the wild card or the division title, I think they make a move. I agree with you that they're not going to just do it for the sake of doing it. It doesn't make good business sense. But this team and this organization wants and needs to get back to the postseason, and they're going to do everything they can to get there.
But I think we both can agree here, though, that the quality of player that they would acquire would be different if they're in the NL East race or the wild card race, right? Because, like, if you're going for a division title and you know that you're going to start out on the division series where you have five games and you need to make that splash for a fourth starter mm-hmm. or, you know, another pitcher in the rotation, or you need to get that center fielder to round out your lineup, I think the quality of player that you're going for makes a bit of a difference between being in the NL East race and being in the wild card race.
To an extent. But I'm telling you, I get the sense from the organization that they are going to do everything they can to get this team to the postseason. Now, obviously, the quality of player will depend partly on you know, your dancing partner on the other side and who you're able to pry loose from somebody else's organization. But if you're getting a guy on an expiring contract, even if it takes you up over that luxury tax, but it's going to get you into the postseason, I think it's something that they would consider doing. So,
I hope so.
Yeah. I mean, look, we are a long way away from that. We are still in April, you know? But the idea, if we know one thing about this team and this organization, it's they want to win. They haven't been able to do it over the last 10 years, but they want to win. So that's different than other organizations in sports. So they will do what they have to do to get back to winning ways. And if it means spending money, they've done that. They've proven that time and time again. And so I think they will do it. I hope we're in that position to see it.
All right, so Russ Taylor is a popular name on this show today. He chimes in and says, Murph.
Yes.
Your four favorite ballparks to visit outside of Philadelphia, of course.
All right, outside of Philadelphia, this is easy for me. It's San Francisco, Pittsburgh, Wrigley, and I'm going to go San Diego as the fourth. Probably just because it's in San Diego. I mean, it's a cool ballpark, but... we stay in the hotel that's connected to the ballpark, so I can, like, literally, you know, walk back to my room in 10 seconds from the dugout and that kind of thing. So there's some perks, and it's San Diego. It's gorgeous. Gaslamp District. It's all right.
Yeah, you know what I'd noticed, Murph, is that you didn't mention Fenway Park and Green Legion. We're running a trip there. Baseball Brunch is part of the Green Legion Radio Fenway. And Green Legion family. Remember, while our radio shows are growing by leaps and bounds, the bread and butter of the family is the experience you have with us when the Eagles or Phillies hit the road. We currently have a Fenway package from July 9th through the 12th on the website, and we are gearing up for an incredible Eagles road trip schedule, which will include Las Vegas, Denver, Dallas, Atlanta, Carolina, Detroit, Washington, D.C., and even a trip to the Dominican Republic for an awesome watch party weekend, either over the bye week or in place of visiting the Giants. Go to greenlegion.com or contact the office at 215-666-5940. That is greenlegion.com or 215-666-5940. We'll be right back after these messages here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. We are the Bud Light Baseball Brunch, and we will talk to you right on the other side.
Banging my head. I love it. Bucks County Baseball Company is a proud sponsor of Baseball Brunch with myself and Chris Sack. Bucks County Baseball Company is the premier vintage sports clothing and collectibles retail store in the tri-state area. Visit www.buckscountybaseballco.com or stop by their Bristol, PA location to see their incredible selection, unique vintage sports items from the Phillies, Eagles, Sixers, Flyers, and much, much more. Again, visit www.buckscountybaseballco.com or stop by their Bristol, PA location. The showroom is huge, and the website, it's even bigger. Check out Bucks County Baseball Company today.
All right, welcome back for our last segment here on Bud Light Baseball Brunch. Thank you for joining us this Sunday morning as we lead you into Phillies Rockies this afternoon, which is the rubber match of the three-game series before they head to St. Louis for a four-game set and back home against the Mets next weekend. We want to keep those scumbags out of our ballpark next weekend, Murph. But let's get to it. We have our FanDuel picks here. Courtesy of the FanDuel Sportsbook. Murph and I will give you three picks every Sunday. Bet with Murph, bet against me. Murph was 2-1 last week, 5-3 on the season. Please go ahead and follow his tutelage here. And then I was a paltry 0-3 and 2-6 on the season there, Murph.
Yeah, not so good.
Paltry. Yeah, I'm
that's harsh, Jansen.
Yeah,
it's harsh.
In my Donovan McNabb voice, I'm embarrassed. So,
yeah.
But I'm back with redemption this week. Three betting lines on Sunday's Major League Baseball ticket that we like. Money line, run line, over under run totals. What do we have this week? Murph, you know what? I'm noticing a trend here.
What's that?
I think I've been going first and you've been going last.
Okay.
So I'm going to start it off with you this week.
All right.
And then I will come back with my own. So what's your first pick for us?
All right. Leading off, I'm going to take the Cardinals and the Reds. It's in St. Louis. It's Jack Flaherty versus Luis Castillo. I really like Flaherty. I always have.
Yeah,
I
mean, me too.
He kid can pitch. So I'm going to just take the Cardinals to win this game outright. They're a slight favorite. I think they're -132. But I like the Cardinals to win this game. And, you know, their offense will score some runs. And Jack Flaherty will pitch well. So take the Cardinals to win it.
Why don't we stick with this game? Because okay. I also like this game on the ticket. And I'm going to go over 7 runs at -112 for the Reds and the Cardinals. I know it's Castillo. I know it's Flaherty. But the Reds can really hit. And then the Cardinals, they tend to rise to the occasion when they're being scored against. So I think we're going to be able to get over that threshold today. 7 runs. So if you're hearing me right now, take the under. Murph, give me your second pick.
I kind of like the over on that. 6-3 win for the Cardinals, so we'll both win
there,
on that.
There
one.
You go.
All right, how about Brewers and Cubs? Our good friend, our old pal, Jake Arrieta on the hill for the Cubs. Brandon Woodruff is on the hill for the Brewers. You know what? Jake Arrieta on the hill, I'm going to take the over, 6.5. Look, he's pitched well this season, and you know, he pitched well and had flashes here in Philadelphia. Sunday afternoon game.
They were more like sparks.
Well, you know, we'll give him flashes, but I really like the offenses in this game to kind of come out. You know, it's a day game, pound the baseball a little bit. So 6.5 is pretty low.
That's very low.
Which makes me wonder a little bit if I should be taking the under on this, but I'm not. I'm taking the over. Over on the Cubs and Brewers, 6.5.
Take the over, Murph. I want a 3-2 victory on that one, okay? So I'm going to go with my second game here. I'm a big fan of Ryu. I like him as a pitcher. So I'm going to go with the Blue Jays over the Rays at -124 in Tampa. And why don't you give us your last pick there, Murph?
All right. So my last pick is, it's kind of selfish. So Dodgers and Padres are Sunday Night Baseball tonight, right?
Oh, can't wait.
Yeah.
You're
going to sit down. You're going to watch this game because these are two teams that don't like each other.
3-3 season series so far. This is like game 7 in April.
It really
awesome.
Is. It's a cool storyline. Two great teams. Teams we don't get a chance to see a whole lot out there on the West Coast. So we're going to get a chance to see them on Sunday Night Baseball. So I'm going to sit down and watch this game. So why not? You know, take a side as well, right?
Hell
so
yeah,
Joe
yeah.
Musgrove, the no-hitter pitcher for the San Diego Padres versus Dustin May, a great young talent for the Dodgers. Both really solid arms in this game. So, of course, I'll take the over, 7.5, because I really like the offenses for both these teams. They obviously are both dynamic offenses. I think both of those pitchers have the ability to have a mediocre game, so I'm going to throw that out. Go take the over 7.5, big scoring game tonight, Dodgers-Padres. I don't know who's going to win. I guess if you put a gun to my head, I'd tell you the Dodgers, but I'm thinking it's like 8-5, something like that.
I've also noticed this trend. We are not big fans of unders. If anything, we always like we like the overs.
Which is really kind of dumb on our part because Major League Baseball's team average right now is about .229, and the pitchers are winning every game, and the offense has been absolutely brutal across Major League Baseball. I think I have this stat right. The Phillies were second in team batting average in the National League coming into last night's game. The Phillies,
wow,
second in team batting average at like .245. This team that we're watching that is not able to score runs,
right?
Second in the National League. So it just goes to show you, offenses across the board have been down. So yeah, so we're silly and taking overs left and right. That's
okay.
What we do.
Well, I'm going to stick with the Oakland Athletics here. Winners of 13 in a row. I think this is a low line here, -134. But I think obviously the A's eventually are going to lose another baseball game this season. So I think that's the reason why the line is so low. But they're in Baltimore today up against the Orioles, and the Orioles stink. Take the Oakland Athletics to win 14 games in a row.
All
so,
right.
Again, I have the Blue Jays, the A's, and I have the over of 7 runs in the Reds-Cardinals game.
Reds-Cardinals game, I'm taking the Cardinals to win straight up.
Okay.
All right.
Then you have the over in the other
over
two games.
In the Brewers Cubs and over in Dodgers Padres.
Again, bet Murph. So let's go ahead into our next.
You're trying to jinx me, by the way.
I'm trying to make up some ground here, Murph. I'm not going to lie. I'm very selfish when it comes to that.
I understand.
But let's go ahead and let's jump into our weekly segment or our weekly edition here of Can You Believe It?
The 5 and
believe it.
Ah, what do you think, Murph?
God, it gives me chills.
You like
great
that?
Great stuff. Yeah. Can you believe it?
Man, I'm telling you, I think whoever runs the Twitter handle for Fox Sports had enough of my crap. Because for like the last decade, I've done nothing but harass the Twitter handle about the fact that they went right into Fox football for baseball. So, like, you know, you're getting playoff action, and I feel like I'm watching Eagles-Giants. You know, I'm leading in the Eagles-Giants instead of, oh, man, we got Red Sox-Yankees in October. I got sick and tired of it. I'm like, man, will you just play the Major League Baseball on Fox theme? So, finally, I don't know if they did it because of the pandemic last year and they wanted to give a gift back to the fans, but they brought that back.
Yeah.
It gives me chills. It brings me back to when I was a kid, and, I still love it to this day.
Good stuff.
And then you got Harry with those two calls, and can you believe it? So, Murph, I'll start out because we don't have any gambling ramifications here, so I'll start out with my my first can you believe it here. I know we've talked about him at nauseam here on this show, and it's a New York Met, but you gotta give credit where credit's due. Murph, can you believe this? Jacob DeGrom on Friday night set a new career high in strikeouts with 15, lowered his ERA to 0.31.
Yeah.
Did you get that?
I got it.
Okay. And he raised his batting average to .545.
That's just stupid right there.
Stupid. Yeah. So not only can you not hit the guy, he can hit too.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, they had chance of MVP coming down from the stands at Citi Field, and rightly so. You know, it's hard to give credit to the New York Mets, but man, oh man, if you love baseball, Jacob DeGrom is must-watch television at this point. That's a good one. 15 strikeouts, new career high. All right, how about this one, Ned? Stop me if you've heard this before, but the A's beat the O's for 13 straight last night. It's their third longest winning streak in team history. If they win today, they will tie the second longest streak in team history at 14. But the A's have also had a streak of 20 straight wins in their storied history. So they still got a ways to go to catch that. But Cleveland, by the way, the Indians own the Major League Baseball market, 22 straight wins.
Which it did like a few years ago, right?
Not too long ago. I think it was 2016, maybe? Maybe 17?
It was 20. No, they went to the World Series in 2016, so I think it was 2017.
17? Yeah. Might have been 17. But anyway, A's have won 13 straight, looking for 14 against the Orioles today. You like that game. You like the A's, so maybe we'll see it. 14 straight for the A's. Tip your cap.
All right. My second, can you believe it here, is Fernando Tatis Jr., who became the first player with back-to-back two-homer games against Cy Young Award winners. He did it Friday night against Clayton Kershaw. He did it last night against Trevor Bauer. And then the first one that he hit off of Trevor Bauer to lead off the game. Remember Trevor Bauer back in spring training when he was pitching with one eye open and one eye closed? Well, when Fernando Tatis Jr. rounded first base, he turned back to his dugout and he covered up his eye.
Yeah, you know, I said these two teams don't really like each other very much.
Oh, God, I want hatred back in sports, Murph. There's too much bromance, too much loving.
I agree.
Like, come on, man. Like, I want people seething at each other again.
Yeah,
I
there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
You know, as long as sportsmanship stays intact.
Respect. Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
There is nothing wrong with hatred in sports. I think that we're starting to see a couple of rivalries develop in Major League Baseball, Padres-Dodgers being one of them. And to Bauer's credit, asked about it after the game.
He loved it.
He said, I loved it. He said, I do the same thing when I strike someone out. I you know, I like to show other guys up sometimes. He hit a home run. It's hard to do. Good for him to celebrate. So, you know what? Good for Trevor Bauer to take it like that as well. Okay, how about this one? This was a great story. I don't think is getting enough traction. Can you believe the Astros pounded the Angels yesterday 16-2, all right? But that wasn't the story. The story was that Jake Odorizzi started the game for the Astros, retired the first batter of the game, and then had to leave because he had forearm stiffness, right?
Wow.
So they pull him out of the game, and they call in a kid making his major league debut, Kent Emmanuel. They hand him the baseball, tell him to warm up. You know, he gets as much time as he needs because of the injury. Tell him to warm up. What does he do? He goes 8 2/3 innings. He pitches the rest of the game. Wasn't even supposed to pitch in this game. He goes 8 2/3. I can't confirm that that's never happened in baseball, but I can't believe that it's ever happened in baseball. So that's a cool story.
Awesome stuff. And thank you guys for joining us again on the that weekly edition here with Can You Believe It? We love doing it every week. The Phillies, again, they're going to be wrapping up. I was just checking Twitter to see if they have the starting lineup out yet, and they do not. So I can't fill you guys in on who's going to be doing that. But again, Chase Anderson will be starting.
Yep.
In the rubber match against the Rockies this afternoon, 3:10 start?
3:10 start. John Gray on the hill for the Rockies.
Tough
right-hander.
He's
tough. He's good. So yep. The Phillies have not won a series in Colorado since 2012.
Wow.
So that's what they're looking to do today.
Well, I mean, the series that they won in 2009 in the NLDS.
That was a good one.
I'll take that every day.
Yeah.
But we're going to wrap up here on Bud Light Baseball Brunch down here at Sports and Social in South Philadelphia. Again, thank you guys, as always, for tuning in to 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, 104.1 in the Trenton area, and following us on the iHeartRadio app. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and we'll see you next week.
Now you can do your grocery shopping without ever getting out of your car. Introducing Acme Drive Up and Go. Just shop online at acmemarkets.com and an experienced Acme associate will carefully do the shopping and bagging for you. Then just head to the store and they'll bring your order right to your car. You'll enjoy the same in-store pricing. Plus, you can still earn and redeem your just-for-you grocery and gas rewards. Place your first online order and get $20 off when you spend $75 or more. Limitation and restrictions apply. Visit acmemarkets.com for details.